I know there's some folks that they don't like singing too much, and they don't like testimony too much, and I'm not real sure why they go to heaven, why they're wanting to go to heaven, because they ain't going to like that too much either, amen. I'm glad, thank God, we get to heaven, friend, what you'll find out, there'll be an awful lot of worship on the other side. And if you don't like it now, I don't know what makes you think you're going to like it over there. Amen. But I'm glad if you do like the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven probably be a pretty good place. Don't you think that's right? If you got your Bible, let's open up to Psalms chapter number 78. Psalms chapter number 78, you find that place. Let's stand. I'll preach fast. You listen quick. I'll give you everything I feel like the Lord have for me to have. I said this this week, I was telling my boys, I guess on the ride back one night, one of those nights, and coming back from revival, I said somehow or another I managed to preach myself happy six nights in a row, and I hope that the Lord will help me one more time. I like, thank God, whenever God gets to helping you, and listen, the Word of God gets to moving, I thank God for the Word of God, don't you? Amen. Hey, listen, I thank God God's Word will stand. Hey, listen, when nothing else will, them old timers say it like this, have the Word will stand, or the Word will stand when the world's on fire. Amen. Psalm 78, verse number 1. He said these words, give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings of old. He said, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. He said, we will not hide them from their children, so unto the generation to come, the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works, which he hath done. Skip with me in verse number 6. Said that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. Heavenly Father, I bow my head before you tonight. And the Lord, one more time, God, I thank you for the good, sweet Spirit of God. I'd ask you for a few moments of time. And Lord, that you'd help us one more time. I'd give us good unction to preach. I pray, God, you'd set our heart. May it be fixed on you. I pray that you'd set our mind and let our words and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. I'd ask you, Father God, if this be the last time, and Lord, that we'd ever stand and proclaim the word. I'm asking you, Lord, to help me and to do it with everything in me. Oh, God, I pray, I believe, Lord, that you burn this in my heart. And I pray, God, that you'd help my spirit and to match up with your spirit. And to God, that we'd say what thus saith the Spirit. And Lord, we love you tonight. We bless your high and holy name. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to call your attention here. I said the other night, and I really believe this on my heart, that the Lord been dealing in my heart about this message. And not just primarily to the men of our church, but thank God to the leadership. I understand, listen, and not every wife in this room has a husband that's interested in serving God. And now I wish it was so. I wish that every lady had a husband. I wish every man in this room was spiritual. But the truth of the matter is, that's simply not so. And sometimes we've got some ladies, and they've got to be the ones that bear, I mean, that load. And I say, I won't stop where I'm at, and say, thank God for it, amen. I mean, thank God, listen, you've been put in a position you ought not be in, but I thank God that God's helped you, amen. But boy, thank God if the Lord helped me today, I'd sure like to preach to not just our older men, but to some of our younger men. I thank the Lord, as I said, and I just looked at it. And you say, preacher, I ain't never had an example. That's no excuse, amen. At some point in time, you've got 31,102 words how to show you how to live right, how to do right, how to lead your home and lead your family. And with the help of the Lord, we ought to purpose to do it, amen. Watch what your Bible says. I want to give you a few things tonight. And this is sort of the thought that the Lord's laid on my heart. It's how to leave a legacy behind. How to leave a legacy behind. I'm not just talking about I've got three young men. But boy, I'd like for the legacy to reach far beyond that. I'd like, thank God, to grab a hold have some of the young men and some of the young ladies in our church, and thank God, had to leave something worth having to them. I know this. I've got more days behind me. It seems weird. It doesn't seem like just too young ago I was a young man. But the truth of the matter is, I've got more days behind me than I got ahead of me. And I'm thinking continually about what I'm leaving behind. I'm not talking about, thank God, 401ks and the houses and that sort of thing. I'm talking about important things, amen, and spiritual things, thank God. And so here's what we've had. That sweet psalmist David said it like this. Now watch with me, if you will, in verse 4. He says there's three things that we ought to leave a legacy behind us. He said, thank God that the generation to come of the praises of the Lord. And boy, if there's one thing I'd like to leave, I'd like to leave a legacy of worship. Amen. I mean, listen, I know, thank God. I'm talking about, look here, I'd like to leave a legacy behind of somebody who's interested in worshiping when nobody else is. And somebody's not afraid how to get sideways with God. And thank God, listen, friend, whether anybody else is involved or not, I'm talking about, I want to worship going down the road. I want to worship in my kitchen. I want to worship in my basement. I want to leave a legacy behind of what it looks like how to worship God. Amen. I'm not in it. Look here, friend. I'm not going to try to hurt nobody. I'm happy in the Lord, and I want to stay happy the whole service. And if you'll help me pray, have the Lord help me do that. All right. But listen, I don't want to leave behind the worship of cold, dead service. Amen. I'm not interested. I don't want to learn my boys to say, man, every time I seen Dad in the house of a God, he looked like he is a popsicle and just waiting on the time to end. And boy, thank God. I want, whenever it comes time, I want for the ones around me to say, boy, hey, he left behind a legacy that looked like worship. I don't want, listen, I don't want judge. I know he's asleep. And thank God, little Eutychus right there. Amen. And thank God. But listen, I want to go on record as saying this. I don't want him to come to the house of God and say, man, listen, we called it worship, but I never did see it. All I seen, I was folks sitting around, staring at walls, counting lights, counting pews, doing everything in the world except for worshiping God. Oh, listen, I don't know if you know it, but that's the only reason we could. It's to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, thank God, we didn't come to hear our favorite song. I didn't come to hear our favorite preacher. We came to worship the Lord. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. I want you to watch what the Bible says. The first thing we ought to leave behind is a legacy of worship. And the second thing he shows here that we ought to leave behind, he said, and his strength. And we ought to leave behind a legacy of the witness of the power of God. I'd like to leave behind, thank God, as somebody to remind us one more time that we don't lean on our own understanding, that we don't trust in our own strength, but what we're trusting on Philip, it's the God of heaven. I don't look here, friend. You think I'm crazy if you want to. It matters very little to me, amen. But I'll say this. I sure enough would like to leave behind a legacy that when troubles come, I didn't turn to Dr. Phil. I didn't turn to Oprah. I didn't turn to Nathaniel Ender. I didn't turn to Josh Neal. I didn't turn to Bobby Coger. But when troubles came, oh, Dad had a place. Psalm 61:2. From the ends of the earth, will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed within me. And lead me to the rock. And thank God that's higher than I. And thank God's not in there. I put it there. Amen. I say thank God for a place we can go and worship and call on the name of God and find power. Amen. I want you to watch this now. Here the scripture goes on to say this. In this very same passage, he said, and the wonderful works that he hath done. I think we ought to show them what it's like to worship. I think we ought to show them what it's like and to have the witness of the power of God. I think we ought to show folks what it's like and to see the wonderful works of the Lord God Almighty. I mean, listen, I'd like to be like Elisha, amen. Listen, let me ask you this, and you just be honest with yourself. Would anybody want a double portion of what you got, amen? I mean, thank God, listen, I'll tell you this. And when my wife makes good food, which is every single meal, amen. Thank God, thank God. But now I'll tell you, it's not never been one single time in my life that I've ever went back for seconds for lima beans. And not one time, amen. And if you ever see me do it, hey, something wrong in my heart, Lord, amen. But I want you to hear me. I mean, whenever it's something, I mean, when it's fried chicken or something of the like that, half my boys don't beat me to it. I'm going back for a double portion, amen. And because it's good, I say thank God. When I come in the house of God, when it comes time, I don't have no hard luck stories to tell. If you get around me, thank God. I'm not going to discourage my boys from serving the Lord. Act like preaching and worshiping God's the worst thing to ever happen. And no, sir, no, ma'am, amen. There's been joy in this journey. And thank God, now I hope I'll get a double portion of how good it is, amen. Oh, yes. I'm simply saying this. Oh, now, if somebody would, they want what you got. I mean, some people wouldn't even want a single portion, amen. And now look here, they could, amen. And I'm talking about leaving behind a legacy. But here's where the Lord's really dealing my heart. And if you was going to shout, you done missed your opportunity too, all right. Here's the meat of the message. Pray for him. Son, go give me a glass of water. Will you do that? I want you to watch what you find here. And the scripture we find, he's talking about how he's going to leave behind a whole bunch of things. But I want to preach on this thought tonight on some things I don't want to leave in my legacy. That's going to be the majority of the message. Hey, listen, you ain't got to shout. You ain't got to owe me, but I want you to listen, all right? I mean, some of you young men, some of you, I want you to really dial in right here. And I want you to stay tuned with me. I'm going to tell you the first thing I don't want to leave behind. And I got to thinking about this. And with the help of the Lord, I hope it'll be that way. I don't want to leave behind hogs. I'm because I've been unwilling to follow the Lord. Amen. I want you to see what I mean. Over there in the book of Numbers, amen. He gave me a double portion. He wants me to preach a while. Amen. I thank God for that. Amen. Nobody else wants me to preach. He does. Amen. I'll say this to you. In the book of Numbers, chapter 32, and you'll find there was a regretful decision made. It was the 2.5 tribes. And the tribe of Reuben, tribe of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, and the lesson is ahead into the promised land, brother Matt, and for 40 long years, they've been trying to get there, Justin, and right before they's about to settle in, they said, I believe I'll just settle on this side of the Jordan. I believe I'll just stop this short. I mean, I'm almost there, almost ready to worship God, almost in that place where it flows with milk and honey, but instead of that, I think I'll just settle right here, and no further will I go. I can't tell you how many folks that I've watched over the years. I mean, thank God, get ready to go in. I get ready to step out. I get ready to get good. I get ready to get God on them. And they'll say, this is far enough. Amen. Oh, listen, I want to say this to you, friend. You got to be very careful with that. And be very careful settling down on God and not being willing to follow Him all the way in. Amen. I mean, let's keep. Close enough is not good enough. Amen. I've got far too many leadership, far too many husbands, far too many men that's not interested in getting all the way in. Amen. I watched it. I listened. I'm not your enemy, but thank God. I've watched too many times. And folks come in the house of God and they like to do that right there. They'll stick their toes in the water and they'll say, boy, that's pretty good. Amen. And they'll stick their, you know, all of a sudden they'll get their legs down in the water and they'll say, boy, that feels pretty good. And about the time God really starts to help them, they'll say, I believe I'll just get back out on the shore. And then they sit there and they say, I don't know why things are miserable. I don't know why I'm not having a good time. I've got the answer, amen. And get back out in the service of God. That's where joy's at, amen. Yeah. Well, let me say this to you. You find it like this. All of a sudden, nothing happens much then. They have a pretty good time. The fellas who made that decision died. And the best I can tell Donnie Neal, nothing much bad happened to them. They died outside of the promised land. But their life seemed to be a pretty good life. I mean, honestly, I don't see nobody taking them over. They all just sort of died. But then you turn your Bible open all the way to Mark chapter number 5, and you see their descendants, those over in the land of the Gadarenes. And when they're in the land of the Gadarenes, There's demons that's running wild in that land. And now, won't you listen to me? Listen, I don't know that we understand the seriousness of following the Lord. Amen. But bless God, they wasn't willing to do it. And when they got over there, there's demons running wild. He's the meanest demon the Lord ever dealt with. He dealt with in the land of Gad. And when it came time to get rid of the devils, hey, thank God, you know where they put them? Hey, put them in the hogs. Amen. Them hogs ought not ever been there. Every time they seen a hog, I want you to listen to me. Hear me today. Every time them boys that was living in that day saw a hog, they probably walked by and thought, hey, it was a day that our grandfathers and our great granddaddies and our mamas and our daddies was unconcerned about what was going to happen to us. And the Bible said, when there is no vision, and the people perish. Amen. In other words, friend, and just because you're sitting there and you say it has no consequence, it has far reaching consequences beyond what you can imagine. Amen. No doubt every time they look by that hog, they said that hog reminds us that folks was unconcerned. You know what it said really about their moms and dads? It said that they was uncommitted. I ain't going to preach this message tonight, Ian, but here's what I'm going to preach before very long. Let's get rid of the devils, but we'd like to keep our hogs. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I said get rid of all the demons, but we don't want to get rid of the things that they can go into. I want you to listen to me. That showed they was uncommitted. That showed that they was unconcerned. That showed that they was unholy. I'm telling you this, thank God, that pigs can run around in their midst. You know what it says about them, Cohen? It says they got far too used to what was unholy. Hey, Donnie Williams, had I not ever been that way, way back yonder, I ought to been a mom and a dad who said, I don't care who settles down, I'm going all the way in. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I don't want to leave behind some hogs because I'm unwilling to follow the Lord. I want to say this. I don't want to leave behind some giants because I'm unwilling to fight for what's right. Y'all with me all right there? Joshua chapter 13, you can turn there. Joshua chapter, I'm not going to, you can. My eyes is foggy. You can turn to Joshua 13 and you can find that the Bible says that they conquered all the land except for where the giants was, the son of Anakims. And it said they destroyed most of them, Tyler. It said, but they left one of them. They left some of them over there in Gath and they left some in Gaza. Oh, listen to me. And when they left them giants, you know what they thought, Scotty? They thought, we fought long enough. We fought hard enough. That's fine. No big deal, Brother Bill. They said, we've already fought. Hey, listen to me. If you're in this thing and you're about 40 or over, it's not time to settle down on the fight. Amen. I know that's a dangerous age to be. It's dangerous to be halfway through this thing. I mean, you ain't excited about what God's done behind you, and you ain't close enough to feel like that you're excited about what God's doing ahead of you. And so you sort of fold your arms and settle down where you're at. But I'm telling you, if we don't fight, we're leaving behind giants. Amen. Listen, God was with them, son. Promised them if they'd fight. Is that all right? Y'all with me today? Listen, I'm going to say it like this, Barbara. Hey, when they was in that place, all they had to do, Daniel, all they had to do, God was with them. He already told them, he said, I'll drive them out. Hey, Jackson, he said, I'll drive out the inhabitants. I'll drive out every Hittite that there was. Hey, Jesse, every one of them. He said, the Hittites, Amorites, Amalekites, that son, every last one of them. Hey, God was going to help them. But somewhere in the midst of that thing, he said, I fought long enough. I fought hard enough. Hey, I'll just let somebody else fight the fight. You know, I've pulled my weight after all. I mean, I've been, at what point in time, thank God, that's why I love having Delmer and Irene here, amen. I mean, listen, 80 years there, and still preaching as hard as he ever preached, and still singing with the glory of God, and reminding us, thank God, it's not time to stop fighting, amen. If somebody would have just dealt with the giants when they were small, you'd never read 1 Samuel 17. But 1 Samuel 17 comes along, and all of a sudden now, you've got to, the tribe of Israel up there on the hill, and there's a giant down in the field. You know where that giant came from? He came because generations before that, they was unwilling to finish the fight. They left him when he was small, and now he's getting ready to take them over. And boy, and I got to thinking about some giants. I don't want to leave behind for my kids to have to fight. I don't want my kids to have to fight. This is where the preaching will get real serious and real quiet. I'm going to take my time because I want to say it very poignantly. I don't want my kids to have to fight the giant of false truth. Amen. I don't want them to get up mixed up in all these isms. And thank God, listen, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not an Arminianist. I'm a Biblicist. Amen. I believe what the Bible says, thank God. I want to go on record and say it. A friend, they ought not have to fight and come to the house of God and wonder if tongue talking and saying in the spirit's all right with not. That's not a giant I want them to fight. I'll tell you another one, thank God. I don't want them to have to fight the giants of temptation. Oh, listen, you can help them out with it. Hey, mommies and daddies, look up here. Look up here at me. If you think it's all right to leave your 16-year-old daughter with a 16-year-old boy and expect it to go okay, you're asking them to fight a giant that they got no business fighting. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. That's good. Preach on. You're asking them to fight giants that they don't have the ability to fight. They ought not have to. They ought not have to fight them. Brother Nathaniel, they ought to have a mom and dad who will fight that giant for them. Who said, I know what that giant looks like. He's about had me a time or two. And with the good grace of God, I think I'll just fight that giant for you. And when they cross their arms and they stomp off to their rooms and they're mad, you just say, glory to God. You'll thank me later. Amen. 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 May go on record as saying this. If you think your kids is okay fighting the temptation of their cell phone at 14 years old, you're asking them to fight giants that they can't handle. Y'all think that's right or not right? Is that right? Is that okay right there? And you know why they're having to fight it? Now don't throw nothing at me. Because we don't have enough men that's willing to stand up to their wives and their kids and say they're not going to fight that giant. Easy, preacher. That was meddling right there, wasn't it?
No, that was good.
That was meddling. I'm saying this. I don't want my kids to have to fight giants. I don't want my kids to have to fight the giants of temptations. I don't want my kids to have to fight the giants of treasures. In our materialistic society, when it's all about the latest and the greatest, I think it's good for them to have to wear borrowed clothes. Amen. Praise God! Praise God! Preaching now, amen. I'm saying it's good for them. It's good for, if you don't, you're going to get that consumerism down on the inside of them. Where the only reason they come to the house of God is to see what kind of shoes somebody else is wearing instead of worshiping the Lord. I'm asking you this. How many of them little giants, moms and dads, did you leave in your life that now you're having to turn around and watch your kids have to fight them? Let me go on record saying here, if you think a little drink won't bother you,
go ahead. It's good preaching.
Don't come back here and say, preacher, what I do now that my kids are drunk. If you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. Are y'all listening to me? I was talking with a fella back in Scott County the other day, and he said, my kids ain't interested in going to the house of the Lord.
Oh.
And I said, was you at church Sunday? He said, well, I was Sunday night. I said, what about Sunday morning? He said, no, I didn't make it. I said, Wednesday night, how'd that go? He said, I don't know, I didn't go. And I said, now wait a second. You're mad at your kids because they decreased it by one service over what you done.
Amen. Preach, brother, preach.
That's right.
I'm just making sure things wasn't being chunked at me.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
That's good preaching.
We get mad and we say, man, my kids don't want to serve God. What you mean to say is they just want to serve Him just a little less than what you do. And thank God they ain't seeing moms and dads on fire. They ain't seeing no example before. And the legacy we're leaving behind is a giant that'll gonna kill them. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
It's good preaching.
Yep.
I better get up behind the pulpit so I'm at least covered right here. I got good news for you. I'm covered from up there too.
Oh yeah.
You may not amen it, but God will.
Oh yeah. He's for it.
God will. I mean, listen, I don't want to leave behind no giants because I'm not willing to fight. I don't want to have to leave behind no hogs because I'm unwilling to follow. But I don't want to leave behind no idols because I'm unwilling to forsake them. Book of Judges chapter 13, you find Gideon, after God used him so mightily, Alyssa, he made an Orpha. And the Bible says, and that thing became a snare to the children of Israel. And while he was alive, they did pretty good. But as soon as he died, it says, and the children of Israel went a-whoring after it. I'm asking you this. Now right here is where I know folks usually say, Brother Kevin is aiming it at me. And whatever you think, I'll tell you who I'm aiming it at. Can I help you? I'll tell you who I'm aiming it at.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm aiming it at Kevin Sexton. And if you're in that thing, then you're in it.
Yeah.
This one right here likes to have a bat in his hand.
Yep.
But when I see that bat start to get more of his attention and his affection and his adoration, that's one of my A's, you stole it from me, amen?
Amen.
And it starts getting more of his heart,
yep.
You know what it becomes my responsibility to do?
Yep.
Stand up, Davis. Stand up. I'm preaching on my family.
Yeah, go ahead.
That right there likes to have a soccer ball at his feet. Loves it. Tells you all kinds of names of people who you ain't never heard about. But whenever that thing there gets more in his heart than the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what becomes my responsibility to do? I like that holy hush over the crowd right there. Becomes my responsibility to remove it.
Yeah.
And you say, preacher, why would you be so mean to your kids as to remove something that they love so dearly? Because, Amanda, I understand the danger in that becoming his God.
Preach on.
And if that's his God now, it'll just be a little while till he's going to have little boys and girls.
Yeah.
And if he's got one God, how many do you think they're going to have?
Yeah.
I wish I had some more help from some of my dads who look back over their life and they said, hey, I wish I'd have done away with some idols. Got this one right here. I won't tell you what he likes to do, but it rhymes with light and it starts with an F. Y'all get it? But whenever he likes karate and jujitsu and all of that, you can sit down. More than he loves the Lord. Now, moms and dads, you know what's got your kids' heart. And thank God, if we're not just real careful, we'll start setting up little idols. I read this. You know how many times it says in the Bible? It says it like this. Jeroboam, one time, he set up a calf in Bethel, and he set up a calf in Dan. And 25 times after that, you read these words. The sin of the son of Jeroboam, the son of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. 25 times. You know what legacy he left behind? He left behind a legacy of two idols, one in Bethel and one in Dan. And we can make fun of how stupid it looks. I'm sorry, I try not to use that word around my young kid. We can make fun of how dumb that looks, that somebody's bowed down to a golden calf. But I've watched on television before when Buffalo Bills fans show up in negative 32 degree weather, no shirts on, body paint, and guess what they're cheering about? It's not a golden calf, it's a dead one.
That's exactly right.
And we say they look dumb, but we look smart.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead. Preach, brother.
An idol's an idol.
Yeah.
Whatever measure, whatever material, whatever make, I'm asking you this. Is the legacy you're leaving behind a legacy of giants, hogs, and idols. I'm asking Amazing Grace Church, is the legacy we're leaving behind?
Yeah.
Giants that youth group's going to have to face, hogs that they're used to,
right,
and idols that they're going to have to do something about. Don't be surprised if you leave behind one idol, and then whenever your kids get up a little bit, these youngins grow up. Don't be surprised if at 15 years old, some of y'all may not never have, Elijah, you may not, thank God you may get married and may never have a kid. You may never get married. Davis, you may never get married. But don't think you can set up an idol at 15 and 25 years from now it's not multiplied to more idols.
Yeah.
Jeremy, you know what? Listen, I'm going to say this. Charles Spurgeon said it like this, best of man. He said, the heart of man is a perpetual idol-making factory.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And that's true in all of us.
Yeah.
I'm asking you simply this. You know, you don't have to look around the room. You know what giants is in your life. You know what hogs you're leaving around. And you know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, how many idols there are. Now you can either do something about them, or we can look back in this in 60, 70, 80, 100 years with tears in our eyes and regret in our heart that we didn't do something about it. You've got the message. I gave it to you best I can. Stand to your feet. You know where you stand. You know what's at stake. You know the business of the hour. Where are you with the Lord? Go ahead.